what is it that people maybe don't know about the Buy American Act or maybe don't pay enough attention to that they should so that they can avoid some of the problems that some companies are running into?
Well, first of all, the Buy America Act doesn't come up in normal conversation. And so for many, its existence and its application to a lot of government purchases is a surprise to many. Secondly, as you said, the Buy America Act has been around for over 70 years, yet it is still one of the more complicated laws to comply with. So even those companies and government agencies that know about the Buy America Act can find themselves in trouble as trying to understand the complexities of it. And third, in the global supply market that we live in today, where products and services are sourced from around the world, and that's an efficiency, this is access to markets, the compliance with the Buy America Act could actually deny the U.S. government the U.S. government access to some quality products and services simply because of these laws.
This seems to me to be complicated by the fact that in 1933, the federal government bought things primarily, and now they don't buy things primarily. They buy services, and understanding where the things that go along with those services come from, where maybe you're buying a widget that has 68 pieces inside of them, and one of them comes from a country where it shouldn't come from, can send somebody afoul. And understanding what the rules and restrictions are seems to me to just be maddening to try to sort through it.
Well, they absolutely are, and they take some dedicated resources on the company to comply with it. It is the law, so I'm not suggesting that compliance should be ignored or taken lightly. Companies don't do that, but the ability to trip over procedural problems in the Buy America Act, there are thresholds, there are exemptions that come into play, really takes some expertise. And that's not the only statute that applies. There are innumerable trade agreements acts. There are negotiated trade pacts that the U.S. government has with other countries. So there are exemptions and qualifications and thresholds, all of which make this a real challenge to comply with, even for those who have dedicated staffs.
The story that we have up on federalnewsradio.com cites a couple of numbers here. In the last 6 years, Staples, Office Depot, and Office Max, the three big office supplies companies in the United States, have paid a combined $22 million to settle government claims they violated the act. In 2008, the Justice Department announced that Grainger agreed to pay $6 million to settle claims the company overcharged the government, provided it with Chinese and Taiwanese products in violation of the Buy American Act. This isn't chump change. This is a lot of money. I talked about that with Larry Allen last hour, and that interview is posted already at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. But we talked about contract compliance and the fact that, as you said, a lot of companies maybe don't pay the attention to it they should, but this can really come back to bite you in the wallet.
Well, no question about it, and I'm sure as you discussed with Larry, and I regret that I wasn't able to hear that interview, I'm out on business travel. On the GSA Schedules program in particular, the Buy America Act really is incongruous with some of the elements. I mean, the goal there is to buy commercial items. And without knowing the specifics of any of the cases or being able to talk about any of them, in each of those cases, the government is trying to access commercial technologies. The purchase card is designed to permit government employees to go into an office product store or a general merchandise store and use their credit card rather than using a regular procurement process.
Mm-hmm.
So the juxtaposition of streamlining efficiencies, buying commercial items, yet imposing a rigorous Buy America regime or other kinds of compliance obligations on those commercial items really has to be reconciled.
One last question, Alan. I appreciate your time this afternoon, being out of town and all. Another thing that struck me as something that could be a pitfall here is there are exceptions. There are some provisions for Canadian products. There are some provisions for Israeli products, and there are others. So it's not even really a strict American-made situation, is it?
No, not at all. And as you pointed out, and so properly so, when right now the federal government is buying a preponderance of services, and the Trade Agreements Act, I'm sorry, the Buy America Act, was originally written as a product statute, assuming a manufacturing base, not so much a services base or products in support of services. Trade agreements that the United States has entered into often provide waivers. There are special thresholds that can apply. This is a complicated statute. Its purpose is clear. The application to any individual procurement could be very difficult to comply with.
I'm out of time now, but I'd like to have you come back and talk about at some point what that would look like, what it would look like to kind of try to get something, legislation that maybe works similarly to how the Buy America Act is supposed to work, but would apply more appropriately to services like the ones that your members supply to the government. I appreciate you being on with me this afternoon, Alan.
My pleasure. We've done some work in that area, and I'd be happy to spend some time on it.
Excellent. Alan Shvatkin's the Executive Vice President at the Professional Services Council.